Okay, now let's take a look in our Bibles, if you have your Bible with you. And we're going to turn to Matthew for today's message. Matthew chapter 7. And I'd like you to follow along, like I said, if you have your Bible with you. If not, then please listen. We're going to read Matthew 7, verses 13 to 27. Verses 13 to 27. And that'll set us off for today's word. Okay, Matthew 7, starting at verse 13. Follow along if you may. Okay. Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Take your pick. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns, or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits we shall know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the wind blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. So few verses in Matthew 7, 13 to 17. Now, I've entitled my message, Come Back, My Son. Come Back, My Son. Now, if my name were Joel Osteen or Rick Warren, you would never find me in a small Baptist church with a handful of fundamentalists to preach to. That's not how the devil works. The devil's got a new approach on people like Warren and Osteen who cater to his mandate. It goes like this. If you can't lick them, at least love them. Love them and they'll believe anything you say and follow you anywhere you go. Just like a puppy dog. If you say heel, they'll become more docile. If you say sick 'em, they'll tear your leg off. So it is with many preachers today. They do what their masters tell them instead of the master, what he tells them. Young people are quite gullible to the devil's devices. And when you bring these devices into the house of God, you bring nothing but shame. Nothing but shame. Did you know that many young people who pray the prayer of salvation are going to hell? Did you know that? Not just young people, but old folk alike. You see, the prayer of salvation is something that comes out of your mouth instead of coming out of your heart. God looks upon the heart. Did you know that it's a terrible, terrible thought to even consider that the person next to you in your pew or behind you, whom you believe firmly is a solid Christian and on their way to glory, is in fact going to hell? Why is that? Because they never really professed and asked Jesus into their heart except with empty words. And because the very things that lured them to church in the first place were devices of Satan. Yes, Satan does lure you to churches that he thinks will never ever generate any truth in God's Word. But he's wrong. He's wrong. Like number one, Christian rock music, for example. Now, well, I won't get heavy into that. That's another message all by itself. Christian rock music. You know, there's just something about the word Christian and rock, unless it's the rock of Jesus Christ, being in the same sentence together. Christian rock music? Somehow there should be a division in there somewhere. I can't see them working together. There's only one true rock, and he ain't backed up by any band, I'll tell you that. Now, what pastor in his right Bible-believing mind would allow Christian rock to have the preeminence in the house of God? If you think that allowing the sounds of worldly entertainment will draw the young people to your church, you're absolutely right. You are. But remember this, what you win them with is what you win them to. Then there's the movies and the TV and the dances, the games, the dress styles, their hairstyles. How do you get God to listen when you're using the tools of the devil? I'm so glad God looks upon the heart. So glad. Oh yes, professions of faith are made, thousands of them. Trouble is, once you drop the rock, censor the movies and the TV, dress respectably as we should for the Lord and comb our hair, not too many of these worldly young folk want to hang around. In fact, polls show that if they can't have their cake and eat it too, they won't even bother with the dessert. It's time to move on. It's time to move on. What kind of salvation is that? Friends, salvation is by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Grace is through faith alone in Jesus Christ. And I believe it is followed by repentance. Now, there's a lot of preachers today in churches and what have you that say, repentance, you don't have to repent to get saved. Well, where does it say that? Where does it say you don't have to change your mind? You know, repentance is change your mind. A change of direction. You were living for the devil, now you want to live for Christ. That's repentance. Don't you want to live for Christ, or you just want to say the words and go on living your normal, if that's what you want to call it, sinful life? There must be a growing desire within. Within. Not to be like your favorite rock star, your movie star, or a football star, but your heart should have the desire instead to be like Jesus Christ. That's who you emulate. Stop comparing yourself with others who call themselves Christians. You can't serve two masters. Too many young people go to the pastor and say, "Pastor, you know, I'm not sure if I'm saved." Well, says the pastor, "Was there ever a time when you asked Jesus into your heart?" "Oh, yeah, yeah." "Were you sincere?" "Well, I think so. I wrote the date in the back of my Bible, just like the evangelist told me to." What superstition has overcome our denomination? If you are truly saved, you will know it. The Bible says to examine yourself, test yourself in light of the Scriptures to see if you are actually in the faith. Knock on every door in this town. 99% would profess to be believers and going to heaven. Believers of what? Are you sure you're going to heaven? "Oh yeah, I'm a good person. Why wouldn't I? You think God would kick me out? I mean, I gave $5 last week to this organization that feeds hungry kids. You know, I help people. I even help little old ladies across the street if need be." Oh, man. Have you got it backwards? If I knocked on every door in my hometown of Pictou, Nova Scotia, every one of them would say they were going to heaven. Why? Because some idiot Catholic priest told them they were going to heaven. Some even told them there was no hell. Friends, yes, God is love, but it's a love that is based on truth. Understand this. Jesus Christ taught, the apostles taught, the prophets taught. They taught that apart from God's grace revealed in His Son, the only thing left for you is the wrath and fierce anger of God. In the universities, they say that God cannot hate because God is love. Well, I beg your pardon, God hates sin. He loves the sinner, but He hates the sin. God must hate sin. God must hate because God is love. You see, I love children. Therefore, I hate abortion. If I love that which is holy, I must hate that which is unholy. God is a holy God. And that's something the world has forgotten. Oh, He's a loving God. But don't forget, He's a holy God, first of all. Holy. Holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. Many of the things that you love, the things you love to do, God hates them. Did you know that? If you're saved tonight or today, it's not because Jesus was tortured and beaten. It's not because He had been crowned with thorns. It's not because He suffered and died upon the cross at Golgotha. No! It's because God the Father, our holy and righteous God, poured out upon His Son all the fierce wrath of sin. Sin that the holy God hates, but had to do in order to reconcile us unto himself. Someone had to die. Someone had to pay the price. There had to be a sacrifice. There's no simple formula, no magic formula to salvation. Just turn to Christ. You can't believe in a holy God and live for an unholy devil. They're at enmity with each other. Salvation is not like an inoculation where you have to return to see if it took. It's a proclamation of faith by turning through belief in Jesus Christ. But it doesn't end there. It doesn't end there. True conversion is a heart changer. And because we all sin every day of our lives, we show our faith by repenting, turning from that sin, learning from it. Oh, I did this today. I don't want to repeat it tomorrow. Lord God, give me the strength, give me the power that I shouldn't do that again. I know it's wrong. Help me. Have mercy on me, Lord God. No, you can't lose your salvation. Once you are truly saved, you are saved eternally. But if we want our Heavenly Father to hear and to listen to us, to bless us, to walk with us, then we must be pure and under the blood. God said, "Be holy, for I am holy." Repentance is part of our everyday walk as Christians. We need to keep short accounts with God. If not, His wrath will come upon us. No obedience, no blessings. Now, a lot of people argue about that. They don't preach too much on that. People will pray and pray and pray and pray and pray. And they'll wonder why their prayers don't get answered. Because they're not praying in obedience to Him. If I wanted to say a new job, a different job, I would come to God and I would say, "Lord, I need this new job. I need your help to obtain it." But first, I would have to check myself out, examine myself to see if I am truly in the faith, to see if I am being obedient to Him. Because it's obedience that reaps blessings. Don't come to God if you've been walking with the devil all day and come to God and say, "Oh Lord God, I need a new car, I need a new bike, I need a new this or that. Help me." God's only going to turn a deaf ear to you. Try being obedient to Him. He knows if you're trying. He looks upon your heart. He wants to help you. He wants to bless you. He wants to be your Heavenly Father. But you have to treat Him with respect and holiness. For He is God. He's God. What about all the false professions in our churches today? Oh, we get some out-of-town preacher or evangelist who comes in, substitutes for the pastor, has a series of messages. Good messages, they usually all are. Has a call, an altar call. And, you know, it's surprising who will go forward. People that normally wouldn't go forward for their regular pastor. They'll just dance up to the front of the podium or the platform and kneel before the pastor or the evangelist and say a prayer of salvation, even though they're already saved or they're not saved or they don't know what they are. You know what? An evangelist came to my church. It was quite some time ago. But I never forgot him. I sent him an email just the other day telling him how much I appreciated him. Trusted and believed in what he was telling me. Because I was just a young Christian at the time. He had an altar call. And like I just mentioned, they came in hordes. Great flocks of people went up to the altar. There wasn't enough room for them all. Most of them kneeled down. You know what the evangelist did? He didn't kneel. He didn't stand. He didn't sit. He lay prostrate on the floor, face down, to show his humility to a holy God. You know what I thought when I saw that? Wow. How he must love God. He's not concerned about getting his pants dirty. He's burying his face in the carpet, lying before a holy God. That really had an effect on me. You see, when I wrote to him, I said, I'm a firm believer that the lower we put ourselves, the higher we lift God. And you can't get any lower than being flat on your face. How many are snorting drugs, rocking the bars, and racing the streets? Yet come Sunday morning, it's time to plan the church youth trip. They can't think of anything to say except, praise the Lord. They're not saved. They're apostates on their way to hell. Oh, no, they're just carnal Christians. I beg your pardon? Carnal Christians? Carnal Christians? Whose invention was that? I mean, I've heard of Christians being in the milk of the Word and not in the meat of it yet. And I know Paul dealt with these so-called carnal Christians. But I hate to break it to you. You're going to hell. Unless your life, your faith is settled with God through Jesus Christ, you're going to hell. It can't be halfway settled. A carnal Christian is someone who professes to be a Christian and is not there yet. He's not home yet. Now don't get me wrong. There are backsliding Christians. Those who will fall away for a time. Fall away from the faith. But if they're truly saved, they always return. We have lapses. We're not perfect. We're still in this old flesh. And the flesh tries constantly to betray us. And that's where the devil comes in. He knows the flesh is weak, so he brings forth those things that are tempting to the flesh. Oh, what joy there is in living for the flesh. But oh, what peril there is unless you rise above it and give it to Jesus Christ. You can't fall away from something you never belonged to. You can even be a carnal Christian if you're not saved. You hear that? Even if you're not saved, you can be called a carnal Christian. Let's look in 1 Corinthians 3. 1 Corinthians 3. It has a bit to say about this. Paul writes, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye are not able to bear it, and neither yet are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envy and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? Carnality is a terrible thing. It's like a plague. It's an excuse too. Oh, well, he's saved. He's just a carnal Christian. Don't throw that about like it, you know, like it's just so easy to take. You cannot be a child of the King and yet walk the broad road that leadeth to hell and destruction. If you are truly saved, God will chastise you and draw you back to the narrow path that leadeth to glory. The one who loves you the most will tell you the most truth. Getting saved without repentance is not the full meal deal. The Holy Spirit cannot live in a sin-cluttered house. Clean it up. Even Satan believes in Jesus, but if you repent, which Satan cannot do, and you believe, then you are truly saved. If you believe with all your heart that Jesus Christ suffered and died and shed His precious blood on the tree at Calvary for all your sins, for the sin of the world, that He died and rose again on the third day, if you truly believe that in your heart, God knows. Like I say, God looks upon the heart. How is it with you today? Can you hear Jesus calling? Come back, my son. Come back. If you are truly a child of the King and you're in a backslidden condition, you cannot remain there. And you can't lose your salvation, so you've got no recourse but to return. If you can't return, if you can't come back to where Christ would have you to be, there's something drastically wrong. You better see Dr. Jesus again. And this time, get a good shot, a real shot, not a make-believe shot. God loves you. Jesus died for you. Eternity waits for you. It's up to you where you will spend it. In heaven or in hell? Dear Heavenly Father, Almighty God, thank you, Lord, for this, for these words you have given me to say, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the great salvation that I have, Lord. Through my belief, through my faith, nothing more in Jesus Christ. Thank you for drawing me to your Son. And thank you for giving me this opportunity to tell others. Oh Lord God, how great Thou art, how merciful Thou art, how wonderful are Thy precepts. I love you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, dear Jesus, for paying the price that I could not pay. Have mercy on us. In Jesus' name.